fault. If your son is sitting in jail right now, is it because you're a bad parent? If your daughter tells you she doesn't believe in what the Bible says anymore, is that an indictment on the Christian education or lack of it that you gave her? Are parents responsible for the behavior of their children? I mean, if you think about it, the Bible says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Or Proverbs 22, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. If that's true, then does that also mean that if your child strays, it's because somebody didn't train him up as he should have done? My friends, if you've ever struggled with thoughts like these, if you've ever wondered whether God is judging you on the basis of your kids' behavior, if you ever felt like other people were judging you on the basis of your kids' behavior, you're not alone. And that's why today we're going to take a look at this question. Are parents responsible for their children's behavior? Now, if you're like me, when you hear that question, you immediately think, well, what does Scripture have to say? I mean, does the Bible have any examples of situations where it seems like parents were being punished for their kids' behavior? Yeah, there are. In fact, we're going to take up one today. It really serves as the background to our Old Testament lesson. It's the story of Eli and his two sons. If you remember that story, it's about God rebuking Eli for not properly disciplining his children, and in the end, all three of them die on the same day. At first blush, it looks like God punished that father for the behavior of his children. The question is that really what happened? And to answer that question, we want to take a little closer look at the account of Eli. It's recorded for us really in about three chapters of 1 Samuel, Samuel 2, 3, and 4. There in Scripture we hear, for example, that Eli was a priest. I mean, a priest of the true God. And so were his sons. But Scripture says about those sons, Eli's sons were wicked men. Literally, they were good for nothing. And they had no regard for the Lord. In other words, they were unbelievers. These are pagans still serving as priests in the Lord's tabernacle. And their unbelief showed itself in their behavior. Scripture tells us, now it was the practice of the priests with the people that whenever anyone offered a sacrifice, and while the meat was being boiled, the servant of the priest would come with a three-pronged fork in his hand. He would plunge it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot, and the priest would take for himself whatever the fork brought up. This is how they treated all the Israelites who came to Shiloh. Now understand, what those priests were doing was not wrong. In fact, it's what God told them to do. It's how God had them provide a livelihood for these priests. But you see, what Eli's sons did was kind of hijack the process. The process was, after the fat, after the most valuable piece was offered to God in a burnt offering, then the priest would stick his three-pronged fork in, and whatever he got out, that was his portion. But that's not what the priests of Eli did. Even before the fat was burned, the servant of the priest would come and say to the man who was sacrificing, give the priest some meat to roast. He won't accept boiled meat from you, but only raw. If the man said to him, let the fat be burned up first, and then take whatever you want, the servant would then answer, "No, hand it over now. If you don't, I'll take it by force." Call it extortion, call it robbery. These men were not only stealing what wasn't theirs, they were stealing what belonged to the Lord. And that was no minor offense. Scripture says, "The sin of the young man was very great in the Lord's sight, for they were treating the Lord's offering with contempt." You know, I think about those words and I wonder, is this still happening today? Do people sometimes think, "No, I want the first cut. I don't want God to have the first cut. I'll let God have the leftovers." Whether you see that attitude in yourself or in your children, the question is, how do you address it? How did this father address it with his children? Scripture tells us, "Now Eli, who was very old, heard about everything his sons were doing to all Israel, and how they slept with the women who served at the entrance to the tent of meeting." Oh yeah, you can add that to their list of sins. "So Eli said to them, 'Why do you do such things? I hear from all the people about these wicked deeds of yours. No, my sons, it is not a good report that I hear spreading among the Lord's people.'" Now tell me, how do you analyze his response? I mean, you think he was a little harsh with them? Or did he maybe treat them with kid gloves? Kind of gave them this verbal slap on the wrist. Sounds a little more like the latter than the former. I mean, he doesn't say anything about consequences of their behavior. He doesn't talk about what their sin is doing to their relationship to God. He doesn't terminate their jobs and get them out of the priesthood. It sounds like he's more interested in what everybody else is saying, right? "It's not a good report that I hear spreading among the Lord's people." Regardless of what he said or did, his sons ignored him. Eli's sons, however, did not listen to their father's rebuke, for it was the Lord's will to put them to death. Don't misunderstand those words. That does not mean that these boys could not repent because God already was going to kill them. No, it was the other way around. Because they absolutely refused to repent, God judged them before they actually breathed their last breath. For them, judgment day had already come. You might say that by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the prophet lets us in on their future. But he didn't keep that to himself. We're not the only ones who got to see it. He also told their father. God sent a prophet to Eli to tell him what was coming in his future and in the future of his family. God said to Eli, "The time is coming when I will cut short your strength and the strength of your father's house, so that there will not be an old man in your family line. All your descendants will die in the prime of life. And what happens to your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, will be a sign to you. They will both die on the same day." Now, if we were to jump a couple chapters ahead, we'd see that this prophecy was perfectly fulfilled. In one day, both sons are killed in battle. And when Eli hears of their demise, and maybe more specifically, when he hears that the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord has been taken by the Philistines, he falls over dead. All three of them dead in one day. The question is, was the death of Eli a penalty for the sins of his children? Was God punishing Eli because of what his kids did? Or as we asked at the very beginning, are parents responsible for their children's behavior? The answer to all those questions is the same. Absolutely not. God does not hold people responsible for other people's sins. I better clarify that. Other than Adam and Eve's sin that God applied to our account, that we inherited from Adam and Eve, God does not hold us accountable for sins that we did not personally commit. That's the point that God made through the prophet Ezekiel with these words. The soul who sins is the one who will die. The son will not share the guilt of the father, nor will the father share the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous man will be credited to him, and the wickedness of the wicked will be charged against him. Now, to a certain extent, that passage is good news. It means that as a parent, God is not holding your kids' behavior against you. You are not defined by your kids' misdeeds. Now granted, if my 5-year-old drops the F-bomb in kindergarten class, somebody might look at me a little funny. I might even get a phone call from the principal. But God will not charge that sin to my account. I'm not responsible for my children's sins. And that's good news. But here's the thing. While God doesn't hold me responsible for my kids' behavior, He does hold me responsible for my behavior. And I've done more than enough to be in real trouble with a just and a holy God. A God who hates sin and who by his nature must punish it. If we're honest, we've all fallen short of God's standards for Christian parents. We've committed the same sins our kids have. We throw our own little temper tantrums. We pout when things don't go our way. We let our friends or our free time or our sports schedules push God to the side. We allow our lives, our families, to become off-center by focusing on things other than Jesus. We argue and we fight and we hold grudges. And all of this, God holds us accountable for under the law. But here's the really, truly good news. All those things that God should have held us accountable for, He's instead charged to the account of His Son. Instead of holding us accountable, He holds Jesus accountable. And He then punished Jesus for what we deserved. You realize what that means? It means that not only is God not going to punish you for your kids' sins, He's not going to punish you for your sins either. It means that your identity is not tied to your kids' behavior. It's tied to Jesus' behavior in your place. Jesus was the perfect Son. He kept all of God's commandments. And because He did, God now sees you as holy. God sees you and Jesus as the perfect parent, the perfect child. For Jesus' sake, you're now all right with God. And by God's grace, through faith in Jesus, so are your children. May God keep us under that umbrella of His grace until we're gathered with His family in heaven above. Amen. Please stand.